Thereafter, Shaitan mentions numerous evil and hateful habits which are detestable, all of them, and abominable. These evil habits in men raise within men animal instincts, and the intellectual and the intellect and reason of men is then driven and propelled by these baser instincts and feelings and passions, and men become selfish and mean and depraved. Their arrogance and impiety may even be admired by some people who are ignorant in the community. But this is by the nature of things, it is propitiated by Shaitan. In other words, it is instilled and incited by Shaitan into the hearts of men. Unless man creates and instills within him the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we call taqwa, through obedience and submission, he will have failed in his human purpose here in the world, for which purpose he was created, the purpose for which Jannah was created, and he will be headed for Jahannam, the abode of the evildoers and unbelievers. Quran and Sunnah teach us to live a true believing, clean, caring, pure, decent, and a morally disciplined life, in which we are a part of a whole existence of submitting creation, in which we must live and we must die as the slaves and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our maker, our creator, and our sustainer. Only then shall we be successful in the akhirah, in the hereafter. If any of us have these evil habits which I have mentioned, and these evil traits which I have mentioned, or rather which Shaitan has mentioned within us, then through the function of mind and body, through a harmony of mind and body, we must remove them at all costs, with great effort, from our lives, and we can do so. In Quran and Sunnah, each one of us possesses, in the education and the management of our character, and in the cultivation of our dispositions and tendencies, we have the guidelines and examples of qualities which will help and avail us and aid us to remove these evil habits, to shun sin, to forego indulgence, and to raise and elevate ourselves with the pure and the true teachings of our deen to exalted heights of humanity. Yes, we Muslims can and we must. These can be done and they have been done. Just think, for example, of the followers during the early history of Islam, what kind of people they were in their pre-Islamic life and what kind of people they became after their acceptance of Islam. Think about that, what I'm saying. In other words, you and I may think and we may say, I cannot rid myself of my evil habit and my evil disposition. It is inherent within me. I've been born with it. I'm now so old and I cannot rid myself of it. Wrong, brothers. Lies, brothers. The world is lying to you. Shaitan is deceiving you. No matter what age, no matter what kind, no matter what the habit, no matter what the extent of that habit, you can rid yourself of it. We have perfect examples, beautiful examples in the lives of the Sahaba-e-Karam, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. All we need is a will to do so. And where there is a will, there will be a way. The Ummah can, and the Ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must rise. We only need a willingness to serve our deen and to serve our maker and creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, we're going to end off here. All I'm going to give you is the next question and the answer will follow next week. Our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Shaitan, now tell me, what are the major characteristics and features of those who will go to Jannah? That is a question. And the description and the kinds of people and the habits that will lead people to Jannah, Shaitan describes them in the talk we will have here after Asr, next week Sunday, inshallah. Jazakumullah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Alhamdulillah, all thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this, the holy month of Dhul-Qa'dah, of the year 1412 of the Hijrah, equivalent to the month of May, of the year 1992 of the Christian era, on the Sunday after having performed Salatul Asr with Jama'ah, we thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter we send darood and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with the name of Allah and His Rasul, we commence now with the subject of Shaitan's plan for man. And under Shaitan's plan for man, we are at this moment discussing the conversation held in the graveyard of Medina, Jannatul Baqi, between Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Shaitan al-Rajim, Shaitan the accursed one. And in this, we ended off last week with a description of the traits and the features of those who will go to Jahannam, and Shaitan described very aptly the different features and characteristics that will take people into Jahannam. This week we commence with this question of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he asks Shaitan, "Now tell me, O Shaitan, what are the major characteristics and features of the people who will go to Jannah, of those who will go to Jannah?" And Shaitan replies as follows. Says Shaitan, "The first feature of those who will go to Jannah will be that they possess Iman. Those who possess Iman and they are thereby completely attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Meaning thereby that they have complete Iman, complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by saying that they are completely attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shaitan means that they completely submit themselves and fully surrender themselves to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan says, and secondly, the feature of those who will go to Jannah will be that they speak to and they act only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever they do and whatever they say, their words and their actions will only be lillahi ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third feature of such people who will go to Jannah will be that they think always of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means they are constantly engaged in one way or the other in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one is continuously in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan says this means that their mind is always engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether they are actually making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of mouth or by way of thought. In other words, they are constantly thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and imagining themselves to be in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which all of us are at all times, in the darkness of the night and in the basement of the biggest building. It doesn't matter. We are always in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Night and day, we can never hide from the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaitan says, one of the chief characteristics of people who will go to Jannah is that they will always imagine themselves to be in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus he means that they will not break any of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus it means that they will always be in fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will not transgress, they will not sin, they will not trespass. Reason being that they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching over them. Alright. Shaitan says the fourth feature and characteristic of the people who will go to Jannah is that they will admit, they will believe in, they will confess to, and they will admit to, and they will adhere to all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. how I have mentioned to you, and we did a section which we are still going to continue with after we have completed this, the various commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are contained in the Quran Majeed. We have dealt with some, and some we are still going to do now. All those ahkams like Aqimis Salah, Wa Atuz Zakah, and Wa Sawma Ramadan, Wa Hajja Baytullah, and there are hundreds of others contained in the Quran, they adhere to all the revealed commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also obviously the instructions and the teachings and the Sunnah Mubarak of Sayyidina Nabina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Shaitan says one of the chief features of those who will go to Jannah will be that they will believe in, they will confess to, and they will admit to, and they will adhere to all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan says the fifth feature, and remember these numbers are being given by me. Shaitan doesn't name them as numbers, he just repeats them one after the other. I'm doing it for the sake of separation of the various sayings and features that Shaitan gives. Number five, says Shaitan, is that the people who will go to Jannah, he tells the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will acquire knowledge of the teachings of Islam and how to practice them. So they will be people who will not only know the teachings of Islam, but they will also know how to carry out those teachings of Deenul Islam. Alright, so Shaitan says, people will go to Jannah, says Shaitan, they will strive to acquire excellence in habits and ways by acquiring the knowledge of ilm-e-deen and also learning how to put that ilm-e-deen into amal, into practice. The sixth feature, says Shaitan, of the people, the Muslimin who will go to Jannah will be that they will be tolerant people. They will be sabireen. They will be tolerant people. They will be forbearing people. They will be enduring people. They will be patient people. These are the features of those who will go to Jannah. Tolerant, forbearing, enduring, and patient. Our brothers, I could describe and give you the tafsir of each one of them and the explanation of each one of them. There is subtle differences in the meanings of these words. Tolerant is in the face of defeat, in the face of disease, in the face of mishaps, in the face of accidents, in the face of misfortunes. A person tolerates it and he says, this is from my Allah. Allah has so decreed and decided, therefore I'm going to make sabr. I'm going to tolerate. Somebody swears him, somebody abuses him, somebody smacks you, somebody slaps you, somebody kicks you. Whatever one does to you, you tolerate it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan says this is the feature of the people who will go to Jannah. Everything is turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forbearance similarly means no matter what is done to you, you will forbear. You will not, even you have, or perhaps in the case of somebody who is junior to you, somebody who is junior to you harms you in one way or the other, whatever the way may be, then you will forbear. Although you are in a position where you can hurt that younger person, you can perhaps make him lose his job, you can harm him, you can take away his piece of bread, you can make him lose his car, his possession, whatever, then you will forbear. You will not harm him. You will warn him perhaps, shout at him perhaps, scold him perhaps, warn him perhaps, but you will not make him lose his job or his position and so on. That is forbearance. An enemy may, or a person may abuse you, and you are in a privileged position. You may be manager of a company, and if somebody has told you something which is hurtful, you will reprimand him. You will not go to the directors and the owners of your company and say, well, this man abused me, remove him from his position. No, you will try through forbearance to improve that person, to prove to him that you are a better person than him, instead of avenging yourself and taking revenge on the person. So you are seeking the upliftment of people all the time. That is forbearance. Alright, this is a subtle difference. Endurance, similarly. Patience also in the face of hardships and so on. You bear with patience. Your wife, your child, your mother, father, children, beloved people, uncles and aunties, whoever may fall sick. may be in difficulties, in dire straits. In such case, you will not complain all the time to all and sundry. You will not complain to people and friends and companions and cousins and relatives and so on and say, why does this person, why does he keep getting sick all the time, or why does this happen to him or that happen to him? You will not complain. And least of all will you ever complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, why does this keep happening to my family? Why does this keep happening to my wife, my children, my father, my mother, my parents? No. You will bear whatever comes your way, whatever form it take, whatever calamity it may, you will bear with sabr. That is patience. Alright? So it goes on. So as I say, these are, Shaitan says, the kind of people who will go to Jannah. Shaitan says, and the seventh category of person or features of people, signs of people who will go to Jannah, is that they are people who bestow readily. In other words, they give handsomely, they bestow readily, they grant easily, they accord. And here again there are differences. To bestow easily means if sadaqah has to be given, if they have to help the needy, the poor, the indigent, then they will not hesitate to do so. If they have 2 pairs, 3 pairs of clothing, and a brother comes along who is deserving, they will not hesitate to go into their houses and to share the 2 shirts they have and to give that one brother one. Without hesitation, without blink of an eye, without thought, they will unhesitatingly share their possession with their fellow brother. Alright? They are ready to bestow. Alright? If they have 1 loaf of bread at home and a beggar is at their on their stoop, they will not hesitate to go and share that bread out. Half for me, half for you, my brother. Without it, they will bestow, they will grant, they will accord opportunities to others. Alright? So, that is the seventh feature, says, Jannah, brothers, is a place which we can never comprehend, we can never imagine. It is impossible. Although, in the Quran Majeed, Jannah has been described as a place of beautiful streams and mansions and comforts and luxuries beyond the imagination of man. Gardens and orchards, far, far beyond the imagination of man. So, one has to have some very strong, positive features and characteristics in one's nature, in one's disposition, in order to attain to Jannah. Here, Shaitan is telling the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew. But here Shaitan himself is bearing out the truth of the knowledge that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed on to us in various ahadiths. But here Shaitan is saying that's the seventh category of person, kind of person will be one who bestows readily, grants easily, and accords quickly. Then Shaitan says also, in the seventh category, they donate generously and they give easily. Now, says Shaitan, the eighth category of persons who will go to Jannah are that they forgive and pardon. If somebody has done them any harm, any grievance, any mischief, then they will not bear malice against such a person or bear hatred or enmity against such a person. No. If that person asks for forgiveness, they will readily forgive him. And they will easily pardon the person. If a person comes who has done them any harm, any wrong, and he says, brother, forgive me. In my anger, I said these words, but I am sorry. I apologize. I ask you to make me maaf. So we will forgive such a person. That is their feature. They will not hold revenge against such a person. So the eighth feature of people who go to Jannah is that they will be forgiving people and people who pardon. The ninth feature, says Shaitan, is that they will be people, the people who will go to Jannah, who can control their passions. They practice abstinence and self-restraint. Subhanallah. This is one of the things that we who are living in the 20th century of the Christian era, we're going into the 21st century. It is the year 1992, 8 years more to go, and we will reach the year 2000 of the Christian age. And as far as we are concerned, 1,412 years have passed. We have just turned into the 15th century of the Islamic era. And at this moment of time, in the days in which we are living, the greatest asset of a Muslim is to be able to control his passions. Alright, if we look around us, we will know how difficult this is. We are not in control of our lives. The media, for example, plays havoc with our lives. Statistics have shown and proven, and I've told you several times in the past, whatever toothpaste is advertised, whatever biscuits are advertised, whatever sweets and chocolates are advertised, whatever product is advertised, whatever brand of clothing is advertised, whatever brand of socks is advertised, whatever is advertised, whatever cosmetics are advertised, whatever shoes are advertised, no matter what is advertised on the TV, they will not spend millions in advertising these goods unless those advertisements bore fruit and brought in, raked in for them profits by the millions. So these companies have found that every time a product is advertised, it pushes up sales. Where a product perhaps had a market share of 10%, through advertising, newspapers, the radio, television, and the billboards, advertising boards all over the city stuck up, huge ones, they have found that sales can increase and market penetration can increase from 10% up to 30, 40, 50%. All they are looking for is from 10% to double market penetration from 10 to 20%, but they have found that through advertising, a product can increase its sales by up to 30, 40%, even 50%. What does that mean? That means they have gained control of the minds of people. People go into supermarkets and automatically they will select the item that has been advertised, the product that has been promoted, that which the ear hears the whole day and that which the eye beholdeth all the time. And whether the product is absolute rubbish, it doesn't matter. We find also we have lost so much control ourselves that packaging has become a very important part of industry. A rubbish can be put in inside, or a cheap product can be put in inside, as long as the label, as long as the logo, and as long as the packet in which it is packed, the packaging is beautiful and expensive, we will buy that product. So there's no self-control, no self-restraint anymore. Alright? A kafir company, such as Kentucky, or McDonald's, or Steers, and so on, can advertise that all their foods are halal. Alright, supermarkets can advertise that all their chickens are halal. As long as they've got on a stamp there, we will not worry and we will not concern ourselves. We are going to buy that brand. Without further investigation or without further ado, we will not hesitate to buy those particular brands. What I am saying here, brothers, is there is very little consistency and care in what we do. We have lost. Now we come to the most serious part of our lives, in which I am saying, Shaitan says that the people who will go to Jannah will be people who control their passions and their desires, and they practice abstinence. In other words, they hold back. They think 100 times before they pick up a product or before they do that which is forbidden and illegal. Alright? Self-restraint means they hold themselves back, they control themselves, they think before they leap. Alright. The more dangerous part which I'm going to say now about controlling passions is, now all of a sudden we are sold boy meets girl, boy falls in love with girl, boy marries girl. And this has become so famous from comic strips and comic books which little children read, to nursery rhymes that our children learn in their kindergartens and their primary schools and secondary schools. This has become now the major item in education, educating the children in the ways of love. So much so that they say at the latter stages of primary school, even in primary school and secondary school, teaching children about love and love making must become a compulsory subject. Children should be taught in their early ages, because of the AIDS epidemic. We should start teaching our children from a very young age all about sex. Our girls and boys should know. The age of puberty has narrowed now. Boys of 10 and girls from 12 should know all about love. Astaghfirullah, brothers. And so many Muslim parents go along and they say, yes, 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 that is correct. You Maulanas and you Sheikhs must leave all this saying that it must be debarred from our system of education. It is true. Our children must learn about these things. They must know. Because a girl of 12, 13 and 14 can fall pregnant. So our children should know all about matters of relating to sex. Brothers, where are those children going to learn as they grow up and become teenagers and young men and young women, where they're going to learn to control their passions? There are things which is taboo for them, which is haram for them to know. Yes, one can know, but in and under the subject of tahara. Teach them tahara, cleanliness, and you will be telling them, we do not, what is tahara for a girl to know all about herself? Wudu and ghusl, aren't we teaching them all the things? But how beautifully, in what a clean way, in what a kind way we are teaching them all the matters relating to sex, to look and to care for a health and a body, sound health, sound body and a sound mind, the Islamic way, the Shara way, the permitted way. Why should we have the obscene way in which sex is taught by the kuffar for our children? All we got to know is tahara. Wuzu teaches a lot of things, and also teaches a lot of things about sex without ever mentioning the subject of sex. And therein will be the barakah and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I am saying, we have to be as Muslims very, very careful. If we want to go to Jannah, and we want our children to go to Jannah, and who doesn't want to go there, then we must take care in the education and the educational programming of our children. So these are important things which I mention here as we go along. As parents, we must desire and want for our children and for ourselves the best. So what Shaitan is saying, people who will go to Jannah, one of their chief features will be, and this is the ninth type of, they will learn to control their passions and also to practice abstinence and self-restraint. The tenth kind of person that will go to Jannah, say Shaitan, those who learn to discriminate and clearly distinguish between halal and haram. Subhanallah. We worry ourselves, you know, brothers who have gone for Hajj have come back and told me that if you go in Makkah and in Medina, in Jeddah, and you tell a shopkeeper, brother, why are you selling these products? Give you product. Canned products from Denmark, from Norway and Sweden, from Germany, from many European capitals and countries, canned goods coming in, which you and I know we are doubtful about. There is shak whether it is halal. Many of those products don't even carry a halal stamp. Alright? Chickens coming in from Denmark, Australia, and other places. Meat coming in from Australia and New Zealand and so on. Brothers, we are not saying it is haram. We as South Africans have been trained and we are particular. We want to know, brother, is this product halal? The Arab takes very strong exception to that. Very strong. He can give you absurd replies such as, it's not your business. He can tell you, what do you think in this holy land? Do you think haram products the authorities will allow haram products to come in? Worst of all, if you were to go to Jeddah and you were to make a noise about the wine imports and that is coming in, and so-called halal beer that is coming in. We know there is no beer that can ever be halal. There is no such thing as a non-alcoholic beer. It's impossible. In the production of beer, it passes through a process which does allow for a certain percentage of beer. It is haram and totally forbidden. And you tell them, and they take strong exception to this. The point here is, Shaitan is saying that those who worry about matters of halal and haram, those are the kind of people that will go to Jannah. They learn to distinguish, they learn to differentiate, they want to know what is halal and what is haram, and they make an effort to do so, and when a matter is in doubt, they refrain from it, they leave it alone. Okay, Shaitan says, and the 11th kind of person who will go to Jannah will be those who are truthful and honest in every matter, no matter how hard and difficult it may be. They are truthful and they are honest in every matter. It doesn't matter even if it harms them, but they will speak the truth at all times. They will maintain honesty under every circumstance and in every situation. They will not lie. They will not be dishonest. They will not deceive. Even if it means that some harm will come to them. Alright? But they will stick with the truth. That is the kind of person, upright, honest, truthful person who will go to Jannah. Shaitan says, and the 12th category or kind of persons that will go to Jannah, their features and their characteristics will be that they will have what we call haya. They will have modesty. They will be shy. They will always have shame. Subhanallah. This is a very, we can talk for hours and hours on what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said about this attribute of haya in a person, particularly in the female. The male also, they cover themselves properly. They will not show off their bodies, their features. Their language shall always be covered with modesty. The tongue will never wag free of modesty. It will always be covered in shyness and modesty. Language is very, very important. Features and figures are very, very important. Speech is a great prover, a great speech, what kind of person it is, whether he's got haya. The use of the eyes in a person. Eye is a very strong feature in a person. The eye is either, the eye speaks a lot about one's character, and from a person's eye one can see whether this, what kind of person this is, whether he has got haya or not. Alright? So what Shaitan is saying is the people that are very modest, that are very shy, and that have a lot of shame, these are the kind of people who will go to Jannah. And you know what we are taught in our schools and our universities? Look them in the eye, especially the women folk. It is so astonishing to me sometimes when I meet young people, particularly people who are going to university and colleges. They do not bat an eye, they look you straight in the eye and they ask you the most absurd questions. Absurd, brothers. Surprising questions, and they don't bat an eye, they don't care a rap who they are speaking to or how they are speaking or how they are dressed or how they look or how they appear. Nothing. They stand right in front of you, gaze directly into your eyes, and they ask you whatever they want. No shame, no shyness. Some of the questions are so astonishing that you drop your eyes, you do not know what to say. You who are not the questioner, become ashamed at the kind of question that is asked and the daring do with which they ask such questions. That is not the feature of a Muslim and characteristic of a Muslim. That is the way of the kuffar. The kuffar hardly have a concept of shyness today. Alright, if you watch all over the way they conduct themselves, especially here during the holidays, Christmas and New Year and so on, if you see them, they've got no shame, no shyness, nothing. All their evil actions and evil deeds they carry out right in front of everybody. Right? I've heard stories of what goes on Clifton Beach and other beaches and strands all over the country. How they are dressed, what they do. But it's amazing, my dear brothers, absolutely amazing. That is no place for Muslims. That is not the way for Muslims to behave. Alright? So what I'm saying is, what is Shaitan saying here? He is saying, O Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are the kind of people who will go to Jannah, of your people and of your ummah, the people that are modest and shy and have a lot of shame. The 13th kind of person who will go to Jannah, says Shaitan, is those people who are obedient to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah teachings of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, they are obedient to Ati'ullah and to Ati'ur Rasul. The 14th category of person or kind of person that will go to Jannah, says Shaitan, are those who maintain trust with the goods and the secrets of others. Subhanallah. Those who maintain trust with the goods and the secrets of others. In other words, they are trustworthy and loyal people. Trustworthy and loyal people. You know, I've heard stories of where a person, a father, has come, and due to a very, this has happened a lot, hundreds of families this has happened, the story I'm telling you, similar cases have happened to lots of people, particularly in the early days of South African came here. I'm talking about the people from Southeast Asia, and people from India in particular, and so on. People came here, and this happens even up to this day, as a matter of fact. A person has to go out of dire need, leave the country, or he is very, very sick and he cannot look after his business or his property or whatever, or his goods, and he entrusts either his finance or he entrusts some goods or properties to another person who may be a brother or may be a good friend. Alright, and he says, look, my dear brother, I am incapable. I'm going away to hospital, or I have to go away for an operation overseas, or I have to go away on some important matter overseas, or my mother, or my father, or my children, or my wife is very sick overseas. Look, I have to leave you and I have to go and tend to that matter. You run my business for me, you look after my shop for me, you care for my properties for me, and here are all the papers. and brother, he goes away, maybe he's gone for a month or two, or a year or two even, or three or even more. And when he comes back, he's lost everything. Lawyers can do wonderful things, brothers. Lawyers can do wonderful things. All it needs is a fraudulent signature, and it goes through. All right? And he, when the man comes back, he's been stripped of all his wealth. Whatever money he had given in trust to the next person, the money is gone. The properties have been transferred onto that particular person. And his wife and children, his dependents that he has left behind, he's stripped. They've got nothing at all, whatsoever. Happens, brothers. I know of several families that this has happened to. They have been robbed of all their sweat monies and things like that. It has happened also here in this very Cape Town and other places in Natal and Transvaal, where the person has gone overseas and perhaps died. And they have gone to the wife or the children or where the heir was and made them sign a document signing everything over to that person. They've even got to that extent. You may know such stories as well. All right. So what I'm saying is, going to Jannah. No chance, brothers. Absolutely zero. Okay. He can ask Ma from that day until the day he dies. But as long as he has usurped and robbed the property of another person, there is no ways. That is one harm that is, and one sin that is not forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. So, brothers, what I am saying here, I cannot enlarge too much on that particular subject, maybe at some other time. The 14th feature of those who will go to Jannah, says Shaitan, are the people who are trustworthy and loyal. And he says it this way, they are trustable with the goods of others and with the secrets of others, subhanallah. Sometimes a person has to say, alright, I'm not going to give you examples because I have to hold the trust of a lot of people, and many a time person comes and asks certain masala or has a certain problem and they entrust it with me. Alright, they tell me, look, this is what is happening in my life, what do you advise? What do you say? And things like that. Some of them are very delicate issues, so I can't reveal, but you will know, here Shaitan, the secrets of others. Now you get a blabbermouth, a big mouth. And he can't keep the secret. Somebody has told him in trust, a matter of trust, whatever that be. And this person now, instead of keeping that secret, he goes to the next one and he says, you know what, that one came and told me. This is what he came and told me. And brothers, the story goes around and it can harm that person. We all have our problems. We all have our difficulties. Strange matters happen to us. Strange feelings overcome us. All right? And when they seek your guidance or your advice, you must hold that trust. You must not pass it on to anybody. If you do so, you are breaking a pledge. And that breaking of such a pledge shows what kind of person you are. You will not go to Jannah. You are harming yourself. You are harming your fellow brother. You are injuring him. So what Shaitan is saying here, that it is important. The persons, men and women who will go to Jannah, one of their very major features and characteristics will be that when they are entrusted with goods, they will honor that trust. When they are entrusted with the secrets of others, they will honor that trust and that secret. The 15th kind of person who will go to Jannah, Shaitan, is one to avoid the sins of others and not to join them or follow them in those sins. You may have a brother or a sister or whoever that is perhaps has got bad friends. They do bad things. They go to bad places. They go to perhaps discos. Or they smoke dacha maybe, or other drugs. Alright? And in a company, or perhaps they drink even. Or they go out in parties, having parties and dances, enjoyment and music and clubs and so forth. Alright? Now, what we are told is, Shaitan is saying to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the kind of persons that will go to Jannah will be persons who will not join others in the commission of sins. Meaning that when any friend of yours or friends of yours invite you to do things or go to places which are forbidden in Islam, then you will know when to say no. You will not be the hypocritical kind of person and weak type of person who will give in to the suggestions, even if they are in the majority of friends. You may be one and they may be nine, and the nine tell you, come, let's go to a party, come, let's go to a dance, come, let's go to the cinema, come, let's go and get some girls and go out and have a party and so on. And you will know, you will be the kind of person who will say no. no transgression. I will not commit sin. My Allah and my Rasul has forbidden me to do so. I am sorry, my brothers. I cannot join. And look, why do you want to do this? Do you know what you are committing? And you will overcome the nine. If you hold fast to the rope of Allah, to Quran and Sunnah, and to the teachings of your deen. What I'm saying here basically is, one of the great features of those who go to Jannah, as Shaitan tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here, is that they will avoid committing sins by joining others in the commission of sins and by following them and their evil ways. The 16th kind of person, says Shaitan, of who will go to Jannah, is that they give sound advice and moral counsel to others. Subhanallah. They're always giving good, like the example I gave earlier. People, your own brothers and sisters want to do something which is forbidden in Islam, or harmful to them, or which is sinful, then you will stand up and you will tell them that what they are about to do is wrong. You will give good counsel, but you will do it with hikmah. You will not do it shouting them, abusing them, commanding them, ordering them around, making them feel lousy, making them feel absurd, making them feel scorned. No, that is not the way to talk and address people. With great love, with great sympathy, with great understanding for their weaknesses, you will invite them unto good and you will forbid them that which is evil, particularly that which is lustful. Alright, so what Shaitan is saying here is the people who will go to Jannah, amongst their major features will be, they will always be giving sound advice, filled with wisdom, and they will give moral counsel to others. You know what our greatest problem is today? Immorality. Alright, this world and our environment that we live is so filled with immorality, with sexual abuse. Alright, you know, it is terrible to live in these times because of this kind of sexual thing that goes around us all the time, day and night, 24 hours, tune on the radio, put on the TV, listen to whatever you listen to, all over the show, go into any supermarket, go into any shop, go into any factory, it's all sex all the time. Look at the billboards, look at the advertisements, it's always nakedity that appears. Shamelessness that appears. You look at cars, you look at furniture, you look at carpets, you look at anything and everything, even motor car space. Look at anything, it's all just sex that's being bandied about in order to increase sales. So what I'm saying here is, those Muslimin, even in these times, that can stand up and hold on to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they can hold on to Sharia of Islam, and they can give good advice, sound advice and moral counsel to others, this is the kind of people that will go to Jannah. Now we come to number 17. Says Shaitan that the kind of people who will go to Jannah are those who admonish and warn others with tenderness, with warmth and with sincerity. Subhanallah. No harshness, no scorning others, no looking down upon others. Very important, brothers. We do not have the right to talk in a tone of voice which shows that others are lesser than ourselves. No, always talk respecting your fellow man. Always talk respecting your fellow woman. Hold them in high esteem. Do not categorize people in a lower category than yourself. We have no right to do so. All of us are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us are equal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do I have that I must hold myself above you? Nothing at all whatsoever. The only difference between the two is in rank. In degree is piety, and that piety is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to us. Those brothers and sisters of ours may be far better than us, or they may become far more better than us in piety. So we have no right to judge others in any way whatsoever. Therefore, says Shaitan, this is the kind of person who will go to Jannah, who admonishes and warns others, but he does so with tenderness, with warmth and with sincerity, inviting Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You remember, I'll give you one example that comes to mind now. A bedou, in other words, what we will say, an uncouth, uncultivated, uneducated Arab bedouin, desert dweller, a ruffian, a roughneck, comes in And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are seated in a masjid, and it had an open veranda, an open space, and you could see quite far away from the masjid. And he comes in, and near one of the palm trees, not far away, within seeing distance, he comes and he stands and he urinates. The Sahaba Ikram that are seated with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take strong exception and strong objection to this, and some of them start murmuring, and some of them get ready to chop off his neck to give him a good thrashing, to chase him away from there. Sayyidina wa Nabiya Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses his hikmah, and he says, no, don't make a move. Don't make a move. Be seated, be silent. Let that man complete urinating. Let him not mess himself by suddenly stopping him and thereby messing himself and wetting himself. Let him be. Alright? And with what geniality, with what warmth, with what empathy, with what tenderness the man was informed afterwards as to the right of it, as to the wrong of his action. With great love and tenderness, never if such a person is approached in that way, never will that person do and commit that wrongful act again. Alright? So what I am saying here basically is, speak to people, admonish them, warn them about the wrongs that they do, but do so with great warmth and with great love, with great kindness and with great tenderness. Then you will draw them into Islam. You will make them love Allah and His Rasul. You will make them become obedient to the Sharia and the teachings of the Deen. This is very important. Many of us have this feature in us, but we are too harsh, too unkind in the usage of our words. Right? So, here it is. That is the 17th kind of people, according to Shaitan, who will go to Jannah from the Ummah of Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The 18th kind of person, say Shaitan, are those who act with prudence, with discernment, with sagacity and with wisdom. Look, some of these, there are very little differences, alright? But as has been named by Shaitan, so I am mentioning them to you. There are differences, subtle differences between the two. For example here, to act with prudence. In other words, there may be an occasion where you have to act with a formal harshness maybe. Maybe it's your son, alright? Now you tell him every morning, my son, you are now baligh, alright? You are 15 years old, 16 years old, salah is farz on you. I will give you a good hiding unless you perform your salah on time. Now you and I know that the sunnah teachings is that whenever your children become baligh, they attain the age of puberty, they are baligh, then from there onwards it is incumbent on them to perform salah. And you as the father, you as the mother must see to it that you get them up and make them perform that salah. Compulsory duty and income. If you give them that necessary training at home, then they will do it the day they leave your home. If they do not do so, you are allowed to give them corporal punishment. Yes? Sunnah. You are allowed to have a stick or something hanging in the house to show them that if they do not, then they will be punished with that. They will be given lashing, they will be given a drumming, they will be given... So what I am saying basically is that to act with prudence. Now prudence, this is not roughness, this is not harshness. You are looking long term, not in the short term. In the short term he will get a hiding, he will get a thrashing. His back may be a little bit bruised, painful maybe. But you tell me, those of us that have got 6 of the best at school from our principal or our teacher, or our ustad has given us over the knuckles, who of us has today any regrets? I don't have any regrets. Alright? Because it disciplined us. As far as I'm concerned, it disciplined me. I was afraid the next time. I was afraid the day after what would happen to me. I would be thrashed again. I did not want to get that kind of thrashing again. And so on. So what I'm saying is to act with prudence. Look at things in the long term. You are doing the best for your children. Okay, to act with prudence, that's only, one example, but there can be hundreds of other examples. To act with prudence, with discernment. Discernment means far-sightedness. Look beyond yourself, look beyond your time. Alright, to act with discernment, with sagacity and with wisdom, always. You say, well, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to whatever Maulana is saying. I mean, of what help is this to me? What we are hearing now, of what help is this to me? Alright? But think in the long term with discernment and with wisdom. Brothers, while you are sitting here and you're listening to these things, something happens to go through which you did not know. There is absorption, there is digestion in your inner mind and your inner consciousness of some of the things. They are registering themselves, they're going into your subconscious. They will help you at some stage, if not today, tomorrow. You may be a person with a very short temper, alright? We have short temper, it may be your nature. But that does not mean, unlike in the secular teaching, I know, I did a course in which they told us, if you are short-tempered, then smash it. Take something and smash it. Go outside and hurl, shout. Look at a mirror and shout and see how ugly your face is, then you won't do it again because you will know when you shout this way, it's so ugly. My teacher taught me that. That is the secular way. They say, go outside. They even went so far as to say, says, when you are short-tempered and you are highly disturbed and agitated, then go outside and shout a few abuses. Just on the wind, just outside. And get it out of your chest. And you'll cool off and then come back again. Alright? That is their teaching. With us, we say no such thing. We say self-control is attainable if the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. I cannot lose my temper. Allah, I must control my temper. Wallahumma sabirin, Allah, you are with me. And you force yourself. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that if you are short-tempered and you feel that you are going to, your emotions are rising and fire is burning within you, go and lie down flat. Subhanallah. And you know what the other advice is? So many advices have been given. Go and make wudu. Subhanallah. Go and make wudu and make 2 rakat salah. How? You cannot understand this. I mean, here you are wired with temper. And the advice is go and make wudu and make 2 rakat salah. Allahu Akbar. Try it, brothers, one day when you lose your temper. Try that formula. Try that recipe, sunnah recipe, and see what happens. The one says go and shout abuse. Hurl, take a plate or take a cup or something and smash it against the wall. And you will get over it. Alright? And things like that. And here, we are taught otherwise. So what I'm saying basically here is that to act with prudence, with discernment, with sagacity and with wisdom. Alright? They are the people who will go to Jannah. 19th kind of person who will go to Jannah, say Shaitanis, those who know their own strengths and are aware of their own weaknesses. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. We must know what our strengths are, where lies our strength, and where lies our weaknesses. Like I said, short-tempered. If a man knows he's short-tempered, then he must try and control his temper. And there are ways of doing so. He must know what his strong points are, and he must use them to the benefit and advantage of his deen, of his character building, and all the other good things. Alright? In other words, a person may be very strong. He may be very, very strong. Now he can use Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have built him physically very strong. He's a powerful built person. Alright? Powerfully built person. He's a strong person. Alright? So now he uses his strength what? He uses his strength in order to steal, to rob, to frighten people, threaten people, etc. Alright? Now he's using his physical power, he's using his strength in order to increase evil. Increase sin. What could he do with that strength which Allah Ta'ala has given him? The same strength could be used in jihad fi sabilillah, alhamdulillah, in the defense of Islam. He could be that kind of person where he hears anybody that is disgracing Islam or disgracing the Muslimin, and he stands up and he says, "You, my brother, look, I'll knock your head off. I'll chop your head off unless you leave my Prophet alone, unless you leave my deen alone, unless you leave my ulama alone, unless you stop doing these things that are evil and wrong." Yes, you allowed to. That is jihad fi sabilillah. Or he packs up his bags and he goes in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he goes spreading the deen and propagating the deen throughout the world. Who did that? Say now, Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salatu wassalam. Powerful built man, powerful, and he walked thousands of kilometers in his day and time. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, 40 years in the desert. He walked and he walked. He was a powerful built person. Subhanallah. Those ambiyas are our examples. Alright? So what I am saying is, your strengths and your weaknesses you must know. And you must be able to build on your strengths and your weaknesses. You may know you have a weakness. You always like to experiment. From your childhood, you know, as you went through school, your primary stages and your secondary stages, you always like to try funny things. You always like to go out with different girls. You always like to try cigarettes. And then, of course, from cigarettes, other drugs and so on. Now you know you have a weakness and a passion for things that are forbidden, that are haram. What do? How do you control yourself? If you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you inculcate fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within you, and you say, oh Allah, you are watching me all the time, and I have this weakness in me. I have a weakness for girls, I have a weakness for cigarettes, I have a weakness for drink, I have a weakness for gambling, I have a weakness for other sins and so on. Then you say, well, I will refrain from going there. Oh Allah, now help me, my maker, my sustainer, you must help me, oh Allah. And he asks 5 times a day after every salah. He says, Allah, you must guide me. Allah, you must help me. Tell me, is Allah so far away that he cannot hear the appeal of this brother or sister? Of course Allah can hear the appeal. Of course, if you are sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely going to help you to overcome your weakness. You do not go to such friends, you do not visit such places and gambling halls and dancing places and so on. You do not join friends that are indulging in intoxicants and so forth and so on. So brothers, what I am saying basically is, you must know your strengths, you must know your weaknesses, and you must be able to come to an arrangement with yourself with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan says, those who know this and they build on their strengths and they overcome their weaknesses, these are the kind of people who will go to Jannah. Alhamdulillah. 20th. The 20th kind of persons who will go to Jannah are those who are satisfied and contented with their taqdeer, with their fate. Allahu Akbar. Taqdeer is very important, brothers. There is never any jealousy that comes into their heart. Alright, they are always satisfied in goodness and in happiness. In mishap and in misfortune, when things go right with them as well as when things go wrong with them, they always say, Alhamdulillah, all praises are due to you, Allah. Oh Allah, everything comes from you, everything goes back from you. If I am well today and things go well with me today, oh Allah, all praises to you. And if tomorrow things do not go so well with me and there are a few mishaps and misfortunes that come my way, then oh Allah, this is also from you, everything is from you, this is my taqdeer. Oh Allah, I am satisfied, I am quite happy, as long as I know what I earn is halal, as long as I know what I do is out of ikhlas, it is for your sake, O Allah, I am satisfied and contented. I am being honest to myself, and O Allah, please, I am happy and I am contented with whatever you put my way, whatever my taqdeer and fate is. The good and the bad, the fortunate and the mishaps. All things, without ever expressing discontentment or ingratitude in any way whatsoever, no matter how hard this may be, Shaitan says, no matter how hard it may be for you to accept your taqdeer, you are still contented and satisfied with it and continue to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the kind of people who will go to Jannah. And the 21st feature and characteristic of people who will go to Jannah. Brothers, do remember, yeah, I've named 20. This does not mean that if you have one of these 20 that I've mentioned, you will go to Jannah. No, all of these you must have, or try to build within you. I therefore say that these recordings that are being made, brothers, you will not be able to absorb all I'm telling you. But sit back, and what I gave last week and the week before about the features and characteristics of people who will go to Jahannam, as well as what I'm giving you now of the people who will go to Jannah, these features, these characteristics that I am mentioning here, try and go through them and work it out. Tick it off, actually, that look, these are the plus factors in my life and these are the minus features in my life. Now this is what I must try and do to get everything right. All the things that I must attain with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased. These are my strengths, these are my weaknesses. This is what I've still got to do. And you actually write it down and say, this is what I've got to do. So you are planning. Wallah, I tell you, only by doing that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you, guide you and assist you. Allah's mercy will be, you will be able to correct your life. Self-correction, you will achieve. Alright, you will come right. Inshallah. 21st feature, says Shaitan, of the people who will go to Jannah is to place one's neck. I'm doing now a direct translation. To place one's neck, Shaitan is saying, those who place their neck on the Sharia of Islam, meaning that they are online, that is, they submit themselves completely to the laws and the disciplines of the Sharia of Islam in a way that shows willing surrender to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. They place their neck. You know, we used to read about the French Revolution and we used to read about the guillotine, where you know how the guillotine is shaped, alright? They put their neck there And of course there's one, it's got a little hole like this where you place your neck. And of course the chopping, the blade is on top, affixed to a portion at the top. And of course when that thing is closed, when it is brought down, it splits, it cuts the neck in two. That's a guillotine. Now, what Shaitan is saying here is those Muslims who place their necks on the Sharia, in other words, they give themselves over and sacrifice themselves over completely, are like that person on the guillotine. They give themselves completely and totally over. No matter what happens, they are going to stick with the laws of the Sharia. Those people will go to Jannah. The 22nd feature of the people who will go to Jannah, says Shaitan, to strive to excel in following and obeying the Sharia with discipline and with the reason, which is subservient and not liberal and free-minded and cynical to the Sharia of Islam in the most excellent and virtuous manner. I've got to explain this. The first which I mentioned was, the 21st, that they place their neck on the Sharia of Islam. In other words, they prepare to sacrifice their life for the sake of Islam. Or alternatively, explain it this way, that they give their life over to the Sharia of Islam. This one says they do so with reason. Allahu Akbar. In other words, not blind following of Sharia, but reasoned following of Sharia. With the study of the Sharia, they have come to the conclusion that this Sharia is divine. That this Sharia is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this madhab that I am following, the Shafi madhab or the Hanafi madhab, Maliki madhab or Hanbali madhab, is codified, the laws have been enacted in accordance with Quran and with Sunnah. Just to make it easy for us, these four great imams have taken and they have enacted, so that we know exactly what is permissible in Salah, what is not permissible in Salah. In the Quran, it is all over, from Surah Baqarah right up to the last chapter of the Quran. Now, you and I are mere students. We do not know where to look for the laws of Islam and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. You and I are not versed. We are not all alims. We don't know where, in which hadith lies the laws of Islam. All the Imam Shafi, all that Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal have done, they have done the work for us. They have codified, in other words, they have chosen and taken all the laws of Tahara and put it in one chapter. They've taken all the laws of Salah and put it in one chapter and said, these are the fara'id, these are the wajibat, these are the sunnahs, make it very easy for us, alright? This is the aqidah, the aqaid of Islam, this is how we must, everything is from Quran and Sunnah. So, what this means is you and I, whatever we know of the deen, we sit back and we say, mashallah, all this has been done. But I am a follower of Islam and I am a follower of the Sharia, not blindly, but I know it is the best for me. Subhanallah. Ya Allah, those laws of Salah are the finest. The prayer of the Muslim, the worship, the manners of worship, and the features of worship of the Muslim, his pilgrimage, for example, his Sawm Ramadan, for example, his method and system of Salah, for example, his system of belief, subhanallah, says the Muslim, it is the finest and the best. It is unbeatable. I follow Islam. I am obedient to the Sharia because its teachings and its doctrines are the finest in mankind. So I am by choice following Islam and the Sharia. So Shaitan says those who do so after making this admission that what they are following is the best, it cannot be improved upon. That is what I'm saying. When you say my Salah Aghwa that I am making is the way you want me to make Salah and it is the best, my wudu that I am making is the best, there cannot be a better form of preparation for Ibadah. Then you have used reason. You're not following blindly. You're following with reason. You are actually telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala why you are Muslim, why you have surrendered yourself. So Shaitan says, those who reason in this way and are following the Sharia of Islam with reason, says Shaitan, that is a kind of person Allah will love to send to Jannah. This is what this item number 22 means. Let's proceed. Number 23. Say Shaitan, the kind of person who will go to Jannah is those who rely upon, those who trust and depend completely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all matters. And this trust and this dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that one must believe that Everything happens through the will and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that nothing happens through one's own will and through one's own determination. Subhanallah. What's this last part? That the people who will go to Jannah, one of the features in them will be that they trust, they rely, and they depend completely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all matters. And this trust and this reliance is of such a nature and such a kind that they believe implicitly that everything that happens, happens to them through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not through their own will or determination. Now here's the difference between Muslim and non-Muslim. They teach us in their schools, in their colleges, and through their media and so on. You decide what you want to do and you decide what will happen. It's your determination. We say, yes, it is our determination. We do decide. But eventually, in the final instance, it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that preponderates, that overcomes everything. I may want to be a doctor, but I become a lawyer. I say, well, this is through the weight of Allah. My determination, my will was that I become a doctor. But Allah decreed otherwise and I became. So either way, I will never regret it. They say you must regret it for the rest of their life. For the rest of your life. I mean, you did not become and not achieve what you set out to achieve. Alright? But not with us. With them, if a person has suffered a severe sentence, a jail conviction for example, that person as a result of a jail conviction, for even a minor felony, will be marked for life. He will perhaps not get a job anyway. Not with us. Not with us. Such people in our communities can become among the finest citizens in the world. They can become the most purest, most sincerest. They can become awliya Allah. Alright? They can attain to very high stages. We do not mark a man for life. Any case, what I am saying here is, we say, whatever happens, happens through the will and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say we have no say in the matter. And when this is, when the result is produced. This does not mean I will go on through life and say, well, and this is where many of us have made a mistake. This is taqdeer ilahi, it's from the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm saying, no, the striving must be from us. We strive. I want to become an alim, I want to become a hafiz of Quran. I'm not going to sit back. Allah will not make me a hafiz of Quran. Allah will not make me an alim or a doctor or a lawyer, whatever I want to be. No. I've got to do and I've got to struggle. But I say, it is the taqdeer that is set for me. I will only attain that which Allah wills. So, it is not my determination in the final instance. The result is dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I will accept it as such. And I will be contented with whatever Allah has decreed. So things happen by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have no role or share in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 24. The 24th kind of person who will go to Jannah, say shaitan, to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that we must not be, what is following now are important attributes and important features. Those are, number 24, say shaitan, not to be restless, distracted, perturbed, disturbed, anxious, unsettled of mind, and vexed, but to be patient and relaxed and calm and cool-headed in every matter. Subhanallah. In other words, it's shaitan that introduces the stress and tension and anxiety. You may have read or heard nowadays, nearly every lecturer speaks on this and he says, we live in times of great strain and tension. Nonsense, brothers. That strain and tension has been in the world from the time of Nabi Adam, alayhi salatu wassalam. Strain and tension, man has existed with anxieties and worries and problems and calamities. Mankind has existed with from immemorial times, from ages, for ages and ages man has lived with that. In our time, they have been, 1,000 years ago, a million years ago, men were already saying and even writing of the stresses and tensions of their particular time. You read the history of Babylon, Iraq. You will read of tensions, political and economic tensions in those days, of social tensions in the time of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Man has lived with tension and stress all his time, not in our particular age or alone. Alright? So that is absolute nonsense. Now shaitan is the inspirer, suggester, whisperer of strain and tension in people. So, what does shaitan say? The kind of persons who will go to Jannah are people that are not affected by restlessness, by distraction, They are not people who are easily perturbed and disturbed, who become anxious. What is going to happen? What is going to happen? What is going to happen? You say, all right, my son, my daughter, my son-in-law, my daughter-in-law, whoever, they have gone on a trip. Now the thought keeps coming to you, what happens if they run into an accident? What happens? Shaitan, who is responsible for that? Once you have told him, ma salama, go in peace, my children. You're going to Makkah, go safely. I place you in the hands of and in the safety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after that, you must now, with the yaqeen have, they are now in the safe keeping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now comes waswas. Shaitan comes, he says, you know, this is what's going on. This is like the ship will drown, the plane will crash, this will happen, that will happen, they will get lost. All these, you know, it happens to us. It happens to me, brothers. But you must know who is putting this into the mind. Now he tries to disturb you, and at night, all of a sudden you're having nightmares. You are disturbed, you are confused, you do not know what to do. No, brothers, this is a worm, the shaitan is a real, he wriggles in your mind. He comes into the imagination, he puts all kinds of things that are not happening. But he wants you to become anxious, to become perturbed, disturbed. Then he can put your waswas. Then he can do his damage, and he puts his, like one writer says, he digs his fangs into you, and slowly he lets the poison into your bloodstream. Alright, this is the work of shaitan. So what I am saying basically, or at least what shaitan is saying here, do not be, O Muslimin, restless, distracted, perturbed, disturbed, anxious, unsettled and vexed. But be patient at all times. Wallah ma sabirin. Oh Allah, now you tell shaitan, one great Sufi writes, he says, when shaitan starts this stunt of his with you, when he slowly starts sinking his fangs into you and slowly dripping poison into your blood, then at that time what you do is, you tell him, shaitan, it's alright, you can try whatever you want to, I know you are my enemy. You are my open enemy and you're trying to do this for me. Well, I tell you, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. I seek the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from you, O shaitan. I seek refuge. I seek shelter by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from you. O Allah, protect me from the venom of shaitan. From the harm and the poison which shaitan is bringing unto me. And you start salah. You start tilawat of Quran. You start tasbih. You start reciting salawat on the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you watch how he goes out of you. But he will come again. He will come once, 10 times, 100 times. 1,000 times, 10,000 times, he's not. The more you try to push shaitan away through ibadah, through turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more he will come to you, until you gain a measure of victory over him. And that triumph that you gain will give you so much self-control and power within. Brothers, if you can reach those stages, it's like a mountain that comes, as the strength you gain. This is what tasawwuf is all about. This is what cleanliness and purity of heart and mind is, to gain the strength of yaqeen and iman. If your iman is simple, listen to this, if it is your iman and belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful, the all powerful, then you are turning to whom? You're turning to the all powerful, almighty Allah for help and assistance. What is shaitan? A coward. Shaitan is nothing in comparison. What power has shaitan got in front of the power of Allah? Now you with full yaqeen, depending on the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are trying to remove shaitan from. And as you gain victory by forcing your mind and your heart, forcing shaitan out, you're turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens? A major power comes within you. Really. Oh, that power is some power. It comes in the form of a nur. And it builds up within you. And it encompasses your heart and your mind until shaitan has no means of penetration within you. No further. And you can judge this for yourself. At the moment you may be a person that is restless, anxious. You have all kinds of thoughts coming into your mind. Now you try that. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beseech and beg of Allah's forgiveness firstly. And Allah's mercy secondly. And thereafter protection from shaitanir rajim. And as you increase this, and as you try to gain control over your nafs, you will find this power coming into you. How do you gain control over your nafs? Through zikrullah. I've mentioned that. Zikrullah is, what forms does zikrullah take? Tasbih, ibadah, which means salah, zikrullah, alright, all this, and meditation. You sit quietly. Whether you're driving or you're sitting or you're working, whatever you are doing, you have Allah in your mind. And you bring Allah into the presence of your mind, and you have Allah in mind, and Allah in mind, and Allah in mind, and you will see how you start achieving what we call total self-control. Or you are on the road of gaining total self-control of yourself, and you watch how this comes within you. Alright, brothers, that was number 24.